Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Good to be with you. So, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday, and he was asked, I believe Cody Stutz asked him this question. Is Kenyon Green still the starting guard for your football team?
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said yesterday, he had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, you know, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels, you know, worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out? And like, let's Kenyon is ready. He'll be ready to roll, and we won 6 games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
All right, yeah. Boy, here we are. With me wanting to do a Southern Belle impression again.
D'Amico Ryans.
I don't know why. D'Amico. Why does everybody want to talk about a little old Kenyon? A Kenyon is a conscientious young man who has nothing but the utmost of best intentions. And he's doing just fine. Did we need to pull him out of the game? Certainly, but that was just to talk about things. He's just fine. They won 6 games because of Kenyon Green. I don't know if we'd be where they are right now without Kenyon Green and his courageous, heroic, almost incomprehensible feats of greatness. Kenyon Green, you would dare to ask me about whether this young man is going to play football for us on Thursday night or not? You, sir, are a scoundrel.
Now, to be fair to D'Amico Ryans, he didn't say they won 6 games because of Kenyon Green.
He's also not a Southern Belle.
He said that they won 6 games with Kenyon Green.
What is this?
Which is equally valid, equally
what is this,
invalid.
The petty cast and your
no,
me?
No.
Let me finish my sentence.
I was making a point that neither are valid. Like your Southern Belle, what you were saying, and D'Amico's point that they won 6 games with him are equally invalid. That was my point. I'm petty casting.
Kenyon
you.
Feels bad about it. It's a combo of Caserio calling it a false narrative that the O-line has been an issue, you know, in a week where you benched your starting left guard. And then, you know, everybody, D'Amico saying everybody wants to ask about Kenyon. Yeah, you guys benched him. Don't treat me like this. Yeah. Come on. You guys are better than that.
Here's the thing. The question was, is he still your starting left guard? I did not hear a yes in there. That was
right.
The thing.
No. Yeah, I think there's a very good chance he's not starting on Thursday night.
Do you? Okay, yeah. Like, that's the thing. I that's what I was listening for when the question got asked. I'm like, oh, okay. And then when you got to about the 10-second mark and there wasn't a yes yet, I'm like, okay, well, this is interesting.
right. Yeah, that's what you have to take from it is he's trying to soft pedal it, and they're trying to support Kenyon Green all they can, and that's cool. That's the way you should do it.
Yeah.
But I look, nobody, and I don't believe that anybody in that building feels that, oh, yeah, Kenyon's going to ball out versus Quinnen Williams. We got to
God, I forgot it's Quinnen Williams on the other
side. It's Quinnen Williams, Sean. The guy that concussed C.J. Stroud on that field because you didn't have a good left guard in there.
Right.
So, yeah. So, there's a lot of people out there who are justifiably angry but also claiming victory because they said, how did they not address interior offensive line? And I spent the whole offseason saying, well, I mean, they want to see what they have in Kenyon Green, and they feel good about maybe the competition there. They probably feel better about Jared Patterson right now than maybe they did before last week, but he's got a concussion, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is where the short week, you know, if you're looking at elements to the short week here and where it, I don't know that there's anything that benefits the Texans with the short week, especially as the road team, but if you're looking at specific things where the short week comes back to bite you, as opposed to playing on Sunday?
Yes.
Jared Patterson's probably one of them.
If you vote for me for NFL commissioner next Tuesday, I promise you this. I will create a rule whereby you'll be allowed 1 concussion protocol exemption per season. the players will have to agree to it ahead of time, not while they're concussed. They'll have to check the box on their voter registration that says the kind of like the organ donor thing.
Yeah.
But it's that or on their driver's license application where that if I get concussed, I consent to playing at least one game while I'm actually still in the concussion protocol.
Okay, legit question, former player.
Yes.
How many guys would check that box?
I don't. These days, probably not that many. I would advise against it as your commissioner.
You would advise against it.
Some of you ignore me.
You would advise against utilizing this bill that you are putting forth to Congress.
I'm like Philip Morris putting the warning on the cigarette box.
Yeah.
Hey, man. These little things will give you cancer right quick.
Yeah.
But give me it. I'll sell as many as you want.
We know some of you need an outlet. Yeah.
The question is, would a concussed Jared Patterson be better than a non-concussed Kenyon Green?
I would think
so.
And yes.
I don't know at this point
I would take Patterson in that right now. Kenyon needs to step it up, man. He knows it. He knows he needs to. So you think Kendrick Green starts in this game tomorrow?
No, I didn't say that. I said there's a good chance that Kenyon Green doesn't start. So I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not projecting or predicting.
But it would be Kendrick Green if somebody was starting.
If Kenyon Green isn't starting.
Yeah. So you're not making a prediction. You're just saying chances are.
Yeah, I'm saying there's a good chance that he's not starting. So, I mean, if he was definitely starting, I think D'Amico would have said he's starting. What are Caserio and D'Amico trying to do here? They're trying to build him up. They know everybody's kicking him. The kids from Houston,
positivity,
stuff's gonna filter back to him. So they're trying to give him as much positivity as possible.
Yeah.
The ultimate stamp of confidence would be, hey, don't worry, buddy.
Yeah.
You're starting this week.
Yep.
But they benched him the week before. They'd look like frauds if they just made it that easy.
They did. I really wish Patterson hadn't gotten hurt because this would make it very interesting going into this game. Patterson came in and played well. He played well enough.
Yeah.
In that one series, the one series he was in there was the one long touchdown drive they had.
The one thing that Patterson does that was glaringly obvious seeing them place, one after the other, is that Kenyon he lets defensive linemen get their hands into him. He just opens his chest up to them to the point where it doesn't matter if you have long arms or short arms. He can't use his hands effectively.
Yeah.
And Patterson is not like that. Patterson uses his arm length well, and it was a small sample size, et cetera, et cetera. But I think there's a lot of potential for him there at guard.
Yeah.
Most people will say, in-season trades are overrated. The vast majority of times they don't work out, et cetera, et cetera. I would make an exception in this instance with the guard position where let's say Jared Patterson was out of the equation. I think any veteran, competent NFL offensive guard can step in and be better than what Kenyon Green's been giving you.
Yeah.
Spare me all of your, cohesion talk and everything.
Do they have to have played in this system? Do they have to be a Coop Shanahan-y guard?
I mean, ideally, yes, but no. I don't. Most offensive linemen, really most NFL players in general, other than quarterback, they can step in and kind of like with Devin White last week. D'Amico said Devin White was at the building basically 24/7, learning everything.
Yeah,
you can get yourself up to speed. Everybody's running the same stuff. Some teams do it more than others, but it's not. It's not the rocket science that sometimes NFL films and various interviews want to make you believe. You have to pick up some stuff mentally, but the right kind of veteran can do it.
So Stephon Diggs goes out for the year yesterday. Here was D'Amico Ryans talking about guys having to step up in Diggs' absence.
We like the guys we have, and our guys have been here. They've been working, understand how we do things, what we do. It's all the same. Nobody has to do anything extra. Joe still just has to be Joe. Nobody has to do anything extra. It's just everybody has to continue to do their job and do their part to help our team, be successful. And that's just about every guy going out, executing, and playing to the best of their ability. That's all I ever ask of our guys. Excited to see who steps up next.
The play that I keep thinking of with Kenyon Green, when you talk about doing something extra, so because you don't want guys to start pressing and trying to do more to make up for this guy or that guy, because then everything just falls apart really quickly. But like Kenyon, in a lot of ways, I feel like last week, ultimately, he looks like a guy that knows that he's under the gun. And the one play where he's on a combo block with Juice Scruggs on the in pass protection on a defensive tackle, and he wants to do the right thing, and he scans and he looks and he thinks, oh, I can go help out with Laremy Tunsil. So he chases a guy that he's got no angle to even help Laremy Tunsil out with. And yeah. Laremy Tunsil, by the way, is just fine. And he turns his shoulders and he's trying to do the right thing and maybe just give somebody a rib shot. But meanwhile, Juice Scruggs gets destroyed then by the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of plays like that with Kenyon where he just needs to settle down and just play your technique.
Yep. The Stephon Diggs, I think there's a few questions regarding Diggs, now that possibly his Texans career is over. I think that's one of the questions. Like, you brought this up earlier in the show. Have we seen the last of Stephon Diggs as a Houston Texan, do you think? What do you think the chances are that he comes back?
I wonder when
year?
He looks at it. I wonder. I think some of it might depend on how the rest of the year goes. I think, this sounds counterintuitive, but it's like if the offense gets clicking without Stephon Diggs in it, Stephon Diggs might be more inclined to come back because he's probably got questions about just how good a coordinator Bobby Slowik is. And I think Stephon Diggs conducted himself the right way. It doesn't seem like there was any kind of questioning of Bobby Slowik or anything like that. And he gets along great with the players on the team. But I think if the offense continues to be a mediocre NFL offense, I think he might try to go. Like, he might take less to go elsewhere. People are thinking, I'm thinking, okay, maybe you get him at a discount next year. But I he'll be feeling that career mortality very intensely, especially coming off of surgery in his 30s. I think he might go somewhere where he feels better about the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was brought in, it felt like, you know, to be the final piece to a team that could make a Super Bowl run. And I think they can still, I think they're still above the line of teams that can go to the Super Bowl, the Texans, even without Diggs. But he was traded here, and it felt like almost as that final piece. I'm with you. I almost feel like if this team looks like a Super Bowl team without him, there's a better chance he comes back because he could feel like I'm getting with a team that I know has a chance to win. I'm not getting with a team that was 10-7 last year with a rookie quarterback where there's still a lot of unknown about what exactly the ceiling is. If you watch this team and they get to, say, the AFC title game or something like that, then Diggs could be like, all right, they're a bona fide. Even without me, they're a bona fide. Now I'm getting on board, and I'm taking a bona fide, and I'm making them even more – I'm making them even better, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and with an offseason where they can – you know, they can figure out and do the autopsy on exactly how they need to be doing. And I do think they're looking on this in a very general and vague take about all of this is that I think might have some validity. Is, man, sometimes when you have a fortune dumped in your lap, it's hard to know how to manage that fortune. That's why so many lottery winners end up broke. You know, it's just, oh wow, I've got an inexhaustible supply of money now. Really? Are you sure about that? And it felt like that with the Texans offense a little bit. Look at this. Oh my gosh, we've got all these options at wide receiver. Think about all the fun and fantastic things we'll do.
Yeah.
And then team said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take away the fun and fantastic thing.
Yeah.
And go ahead and try to hurt us elsewhere. And all of a sudden you're hovering on bankruptcy offensively.
Yeah.
At least in terms of a Super Bowl caliber team. This team is the 14th scoring offense in the league right now. They are not operating like a Super Bowl caliber offense.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Diggs going out, you know, just in terms of like personnel, like how it feels like, oh man, Diggs is out. This is a blow. And it is a blow. Like, Stephon Diggs is better than Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie. There's no question about that. Yet at the same time, when this offense was really clicking in the middle of last season, you know, like post-Carolina game, man, it was really clicking. Like, clicked early in the season, then it went through a lull. And then that Tampa Bay game was like, boom, it clicked. And then you go to Cincinnati and it's clicking, and you're playing Arizona and Jacksonville and Denver, and it's clicking, clicking, clicking. And then CJ gets concussed. That period in the middle of the season there, like that month in the middle of the season where CJ was really ascending to, like, wow, this guy's the dude. These are the guys who you had on the field. Like, the guys you have right now are the guys you had The weapons are the same, except you have Joe Mixon instead of Devin Singletary on the field.
And I would add on to that again, that except for Kenyon Green as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenyon Green wasn't your guard. You didn't have great guard play.
Okay.
But you had multiple different guys that were at least doing a better job of it than Kenyon Green.
I haven't brought this up yet because it's been brought up many times on the text page because I don't want to envision this again. And I don't want to have to go look at Tytus Howard's Twitter bio again to see if he's calling himself a right tackle. But I'll read this text, which is one of dozens that we've got in the last 3 days or longer. Hey, guys, how about Tytus Howard at left guard and Blake Fisher at right tackle?
Yeah, I'm just torn on that because Tytus Howard is a horrible, horrible guard.
Get it.
He's not a good guard. So and I don't. Yeah.
Is he better than Kenyon Green?
He's better than Kenyon Green, though. Yeah. He's going to be better than Kenyon Green.
Right.
But he's also not. I'd rather. I don't want to do it for one game, depending on how Patterson. If Patterson comes back and that's who they want to do, and maybe Kendrick Green gets, if he gets a start or if he gets reps. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about reps. I'll tell you, honestly, the first half of the season, in a lot of ways, for the offense has felt like the preseason. That's how I've been treating it psychologically. I'm like, all right, you know what? They're 6-2. I'm going to treat this like an extended preseason. They're trying to figure out what works and doesn't work. So in your final preseason game versus the Jets, let's see if Kendrick Green has what it takes.
Ugh.
You'll go out and get 65 reps in a preseason game versus Quinnen Williams, who's not going to treat it like a preseason game.
No, he won't. I'm not into Tytus at left guard. I'm with you. Let's wait and see what happens with Patterson. And I'm really intrigued about this Kendrick Green thing now. You're saying it's going to happen, but you feel like the possession arrow is pointed that way a little bit.
No, I didn't even say that. Why are you doing this? I said I wasn't sure if Kenyon Green will start.
I thought you said
three times now. I don't know if Kenyon Green's going to start or not. If he doesn't play, then it would probably be Kendrick Green.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How you grading the Diggs trade now that he's out for the season?
F. I'd still give it a B+.
Yeah.
I think that you don't grade it based on whether or not somebody gets injured. Now, you factor that into it, that he's an aging wide receiver and the chances of injury are going to go up the older you get. But I think the B+ comes more because it was only for a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
What ultimately was a 1-year deal that was agreed to beforehand. So, I think you grade the trade based on everything that you knew at the time. And I think if anything, I think maybe the management of how it was going to affect the offense and what you were hoping and planning on doing from both Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud, that in hindsight, that may have been more of a flaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, I mean, how much time did they spend during training camp really being sure Stephon Diggs was integrated into the offense? And then meanwhile, the tight ends go into a protective bubble.
Yeah.
I think CJ has gradually over the course of the season become more equitable in how he distributes the ball and when he gets rid of it quickly and all of that. But the actual trade itself, I'm super cool.
I'm totally cool with it too. I obviously hate the way it ended. Now Ocho, noted Diggs hater, texting in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, the official 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. He texts in, Diggs is a bona fide possession receiver. He's not a number one or a number two. I think that exaggerates it a little bit, but it is interesting. I do think for what the Texans were using Diggs for, like if you're just watching Diggs, if you're just looking at his game log and what he's been used for, like in a vacuum, you go, okay, that's like Robert Woods could be a poor man Stephon Diggs if he stays healthy for what they're using him for. I guess my question would be, Seth, like, how much did the presence of Diggs have to do with the type of season Nico was having before he went out with the hamstring injury? You know, like
right. Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think that they were
teams respect Diggs way more than they respect Woods.
Complimentary piece, and I think they still respect Dell too. It's just that like neither Diggs or Dell have that, you know, prototype size and everything. And now that Diggs isn't as fast as he was when he was at his apex.
Yeah,
he's not the same guy. He's not the same guy he was, but he's still very, very valuable for all those things he can do on underneath and in the intermediate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to call him a number, is he a number one guy on a really good receiving core? No, I think you want somebody like Nico Collins on the other side of him.
Yeah, for sure.
And this might, and honestly, once Nico comes back, it becomes a lot easier for Tank Dell to look more like himself without necessarily playing a lot better, but just because you don't have to you're not divvying it up between Diggs and Dell as the guy that's the beneficiary of Nico drawing attention away from
him. Yeah, Tank's a good fantasy play this week, I think. Tank's going to get a lot of targets.
Here's the way I'm doing it with Kenyon Green, I guess, or maybe you and I aren't quite on the same page. Yeah. I don't know if the Texans know themselves whether Kenyon's going to start on Thursday night. When's that? Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Or at least maybe when D'Amico is speaking. Maybe they're still trying to figure out the best way to handle it.
Yeah.
So I think it's very much up in the air, and Kendrick Green's the obvious replacement if Patterson's still in concussion protocol.
Yep.
Which he has to be now, right? There's no, I mean, he doesn't even have any more opportunities to do football activities.
Right. No, Jared Patterson's not going to play. Yeah, he won't play. Payne and Pendergast with you. And we're going to dig more into this game, obviously, today and tomorrow. The Jets tried out a bunch of kickers yesterday. They have a really bad kicker right now. D'Amico Ryans was asked about this yesterday. The Texans are 12-4 in one-score games under D'Amico, which is, I think that's a remarkable stat. I think it's even more remarkable that he's coached in 16 one-score games out of the 25 that he's coached in his career.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, sometimes, like, stylistically, I don't know, man. Like, I because they've played in so many of these, I'm always trying to parse out D'Amico's words when it comes down to it. Like, anytime you have a team that plays in this many one-score games and a coach says, like, man, that's where you want to be in the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game or whatever, I'm like, no, man, you want to put the foot on the throat and stab these guys in the heart in the third quarter.
Ideally, yeah. You don't even want to be in contention. You want to see which backups can get some experience
exactly.
In the fourth
especially
quarter.
On a Sunday before a Thursday night game.
You don't want to go into it with an expectation that it's going to be a battle at the end of the fourth quarter.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You got to be ready for it, but also, you know, plan on just destroying them for the first three
quarters. And when you get a chance to destroy them, you know. But here was D'Amico yesterday on close games and the character of his team.
Down the stretch in this league, every game can come down to that final possession. And our guys understand that. We understand each week how close games are all around the league. It comes down to one possession, more so than not. So it's about guys being confident, guys being smart in those critical situations, and just executing, right? And our guys are calm in those moments because we've been in a few of those moments. And our guys, they know what it takes to win in those moments. And, you know, we've learned from mistakes that we've made in those moments as well where we weren't on the right side. So it's valuable lessons we've learned. We learn from other teams, but no greater lesson than learning from ourselves in these moments. And, you know, I just hope our team continues to play big in the critical moments.
They're 8-1 in their last 9 one-score game. The only one they lost was that Green Bay game 2 weeks ago. That's the only one-score game over their last 9 going back to the middle of last season that they've lost. I said this yesterday. I said that the Texans have a subpar killer instinct, but they've got an amazing survival instinct. You know, they've had opportunities in a lot of these one-score games to put it away in the third quarter, but they fumble in the red zone. They throw a pitch out to Mixon that doesn't go right. Even last year, you know, they had a chance to go up 3 scores on Denver in the third quarter of that game. They got kind of screwed by a bad call on that Desmond King fumble return. But still, you got a chance to go up 3 scores in the second half of a game, and Jimmy Ward's having to save your ass with an interception in the end zone. Stuff like that.
They're like a possum. That's the that's their killer instinct right now, is a possum.
A possum.
Which is to just play dead until the trouble is gone and then pop up and do something.
Right.
Yeah.
I win.
Yeah.
Everybody dies.
Did you know that a possum, when it plays dead, it's not like even consciously playing dead. It goes into like a comatose state.
Really?
Yeah, like it releases its bowels. It's like starts drooling. If you cut off a possum's tail while it's in that playing dead condition, it wouldn't even budge.
Wow.
So it, like, its body temperature lowers. Yeah.
So it's not pretending dead. It's actual dead. They're just able to come
just
back.
Just like
from
the
it.
Texans offense. Yes. In the second half. They go out there and their eyes are rolled back in their head, the feces all down their legs, and they just kind of wait it out until the very end. They pop up and go jump into your dumpster.
So the possum doesn't even, like, if they're not laying there with their eyes closed and opening one eye to like see if the trouble is gone or anything.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. Like, how calm, cool, and collected is a possum?
No
my
kidding.
God. Like, turns out not at all.
Cold-blooded like a possum. And literally cold-blooded. Oh, man. Yeah. That's
so
wild.
So the predator will come up and sniff around at it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Quinnen Williams will come around and sniff around,
kick,
put his snout up
at
to
it a little bit.
Smell the Texans offense, be like, huh, you guys really are bad in the second half. And then boom.
Yeah.
Up goes Possum.
That's it, man. Next thing you know, Kyme Fairbairn's kicking a 59-yard field goal in your ass. Yeah. Ha ha. Take that. The Jets not so good in one score games. They're 1-4 in one score games with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. And they're
are they 1-4 in one score games?
1-4 in one score games with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback.
He's got a new health regimen.
What's he doing?
I guess cayenne pepper and water.
Have you ever done that?
He said it's like a fountain of youth.
Have you ever tried it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
I haven't either. No, I haven't either, but I feel like you're more than me, like in tuned with trying certain things health wise.
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, I do all that stuff.
Right.
You got some kind of new performance enhancer
gimmick
or something? Yeah. I'll try it.
Are you gonna try
Randy,
this?
Get the cayenne pepper ready for when I get home.
Seriously, are you gonna?
No, not for that. For me.
Yeah. I'm tempted to try it. I was kind of sold on it on the tweets I was reading yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a go.
It's got anti-inflammatory properties and all this other stuff.
He seemed pretty...
If the Texans lose because of cayenne pepper, I'm going to be really PO'd.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know cayenne pepper in New Jersey better than we cayenne pepper in
Texas. Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. We're the spicy part of the country, not you guys. That's
how many... How many tortillas are you taking with that?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't. I'm not going to do it unless it involves at least three tortillas.
Do you melt cheese on top of the glass? No. Do you take a dollop of sour cream with that? So there you go. Texans good in one score games. Hey, speaking of nutrition, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Seth. Jameis Winston continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. Jameis Winston, have you ever been to a Swenson's before?
No.
Swenson's, I think it's like, I used to go there for ice cream when I was a kid, but I think it's like a Sonic where they come out and they put the tray on the window of your car.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so Jameis was in the car with his family, it looked like, at a Swenson's, and he was marveling at the fact that you get to keep the tray, like they don't take the tray from you, you get to keep it on the side of the car. Here, hit us with that.
The tray can be on the window?
On the window.
What?
Oh
my gosh. So we get to keep this tray on our window.
In the air secret.
Okay. One thing that we did desire, we wanted to try the Ohio cherry soda.
Yeah.
And we would like to try the California grape soda.
Okay.
This is the coolest thing ever. Like, I ain't never seen no tray that just stick on your window.
And they bring it to your car.
That's what I'm saying. They bring a tray to your car and they put it on your window.
He's mowing down a burger there. That was his kid talking in the background right there.
So this is a tragedy of a generation that grew up not watching Happy Days. That's the problem.
Well, he grew up in Alabama. I'm like, dude, you have Sonic in Alabama. And does Sonic put the tray on the side of your car if you want it? I always just drive through.
I don't think so. They don't have like the old skate, you know, like the, what were they called? The places where the roller skate, the waiters and waitresses, or the waitresses were on roller skates.
With like a brand name or like it was
the just that type of drive-in restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there was. If there's a name for it, I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, Happy Days, obviously, that was all inside. They didn't have the car hops out there then. But that used to be a thing in the 50s, and then Sonic kept it. But yeah, they put the tray on the side. Jameis is probably just happy that a service worker has a steel barrier between him and service worker.
No
danger
you.
Of like it's an impediment to groping.
Well,
you know?
If you go to certain Sonics, there are still. You get the occasional, like, very, I don't want to say overzealous, because I think I admire the effort they're putting in. You do get the occasional roller skate server at Sonic that's trying to, like, bring back the old days every now and then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're allowed to do roller skates?
I think so. Well, in recent years, maybe they've changed
that. It's got to be a workers' comp nightmare.
Oh, dude.
I wouldn't do it.
You
got to
sign a waiver,
it.
I bet. You got to check
it's
a box.
It's kind of like my ill-fated plan to allow a concussion exemption once a year.
Okay. I mean, it sounds mean, but I kind of like that idea.
I would love just once a year, one concussion exemption, and then everybody would be so hyper-focused on that player to see whether he's tough enough to perform with a concussion.
Now, for those who missed it, Seth said if he ran for office, he would put forth a bill that where an NFL player can check a box that exempts them from the concussion protocol if they have a concussion for 1 week. Now, is the choice left up to the player as to whether or not they play, or does the team have a say in it?
No, it's all up on the team.
It's
Once
on the
you
team.
Check so you, that box. You, if they say you're play, you you're, have to play or you forfeit your
You're
salary.
Forfeiting your rights in that game. Okay.
Yeah. So ahead of time, you agree to forfeit all of your rights to personal safety. Yes.
Man, what goes through
your
head,
or else
man.
You lose everything.
Oh, my God.
It's a simple plan, Sean.
No, it is.
And frankly, if you don't agree with it, you're a communist, damn it.
Hey, have you... I know you saw this. This Simpsons game that the NFL is going to be playing on December 9th?
They're doing a Simpsons broadcast on Sunday Night Football on ESPN Plus and one of the other...
Yeah, Monday Night Football. Yeah.
Monday Night Football, excuse me.
Monday Night Football, because Disney owns the rights to not only ESPN, but The Simpsons. Here was the promo. This is the promo that's been running for the Simpsons game on Monday Night Football, December 9th, Cincinnati at Dallas.
On December 9th, two storied rivals will meet on the gridiron. A test of will, of spirit, of determination, in which ultimately only one can prevail. When these two ancient foes face off on Monday Night Football, it's more than just football. It's family. It's Bart and the Bengals versus Homer and the Cowboys, live from Springfield.
Okay, so...
Promo.
Oh, sorry, Homer. I stepped on you there. So the game will be available on Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and NFL Plus.
Uh-huh.
And it says in this article on ESPN.com, using Sony's Beyond Sports technology, Simpsons creators have come up with the feel of the ESPN broadcast using their characters from the longest-running primetime scripted series. They've had more than 750 episodes. They're still around. It's incredible. They did it last year with Toy Story. I did not watch that. Homer is aligned with the Cowboys. Bart is aligned with the Bengals.
Oh.
Apparently, Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky are doing commentary on this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be cartoon versions. They're noted Simpsons enthusiasts, according to this article.
Oh, and they're going to be cartoon versions of them?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm intrigued by this.
I'm intrigued by it, too. I'm mostly intrigued and can't wait for all of the grumpy old men, specifically Mad Dog Russo and Mike Florio.
Oh, my God.
Who are under no obligation to watch the alternate broadcast.
Zero.
But Florio has already made a point that, boy, this was going to be a... This could have been a Super Bowl preview in the preseason, and now look at what it's been reduced to. Oh, as if they hadn't planned this already in advance before the Cowboys turned into whatever they've turned into.
Yeah.
And we know that Mad Dog Russo does not like the Nickelodeon podcast. So even though he's under no obligation to watch it, even though he can consume it just like a normal guy, he doesn't like that it exists.
Nickeldonian, he called it.
Nickeldonian!
Nickeldonian!
So, I think it's fun. I'm going to check this out.
I am too.
I'll be curious to see how they handle it.
I am curious what it all is. Like, it says in here that there are the for most of the game, father and son, Homer and Bart, will let their new Cowboys and Bengals teammates manage the action. But they will also select key opportunities to play on offense and defense. Now, I'm very curious how that gets in court. Like Homer running into the huddle, like during an actual play.
I don't know. It's going to be cheesy as all hell.
Yeah.
And it's going to really anger the people who, again, are under no obligation to watch it because somehow it dishonors the game or something. But, I'm curious to see that, like, how much stuff they can come up with in the moment based on real-time stuff.
We'll have to revisit this closer to this game as far as the things that are going to annoy the old heads the most. I love that I'm 55 and I called people old heads. In addition, it says in this article... Marge and Lisa, mother and daughter, will interview players during the game, and Maggie, the little baby, will fly the Skycam. That's probably the part that the Mad Dogs and Florios of the world are going to hate the most, because that's part, like, if they're interviewing players, now the Simpsons thing is, like, intruding, actually. There's actual interaction going
that's
on
with true.
It.
Somebody, it's almost as bad as taunting the crowd before a Hail Mary, or as a Hail Mary pass is going on.
That never happens.
This is, some player is going to play poorly after he's interviewed by Lisa Simpson, and it's going to be all Lisa's fault.
Yeah.
That would be the likely scenario. Lisa, nobody likes Lisa.
No, a little know-it-all. Are you? I've not watched The Simpsons in years. Yeah. I loved The Simpsons like from 90 through like 95 or 96. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's got a period. Were you a Simpsons enthusiast at any point?
Yeah, I can remember my freshman year in high school when my friend Aaron LaFave and I had seen the first episode of The Simpsons, and we came in. I remember around talking to him on Monday, and we're like, or whatever day it was after this, I can't remember what day it was on. We're like, did you see that Simpsons?
Dude.
And we're like, oh my God, it was hilarious. We had discovered gold or something. And you go back and watch those early episodes, they were awful.
Horrible.
But that's where it's hard to explain sometimes how something that was so different, it could be
Pops.
Just by virtue of being so different, it was really, really cool because it wasn't like any other cartoon you'd ever watched before.
Yep.
And you go back and look at it now and you're like, wow, it was nothing like what it would become. So, yes, I remember very well. And probably through, I don't know, maybe, I was probably, yeah, like that time I was, you know, from the age of 14 through my mid 20s, maybe I watched a lot of Simpsons.
So same period, same period as I watched it. There, I think it was so it's probably still good. I just haven't watched it in a long time. All right, let's give away some tickets to U of H and K State. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 gets a 4-pack. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 right now, and you're on your way. Two more chances to win tomorrow and Friday, so keep it tuned right here. Trade possibilities. We didn't get into that with Diggs. Let's get into that in the next segment. Deontay Johnson is off the board. I do have a few names. Who are the sellers as the trade deadline's coming up on Tuesday? And I've got a few names of receivers that I want to bounce off of Seth here, and we'll do that and off of you, the audience, and we'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's a start. I know everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurts our team to hear that news, and he's been such an important part to our team, and it's everything that he bought, not only on the field but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack, but you know, definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
Yeah, it stinks. Stephon Diggs out for the season. D'Amico Ryan's making that announcement yesterday at his press conference. Team will be traveling today. They play tomorrow night. 7:15 kickoff, 4:15 Texans countdown with me and with Seth. D'Amico went on to say in the press conference, Seth, like, hey, we like our guys. You know, guys need to pick up the slack, but we like our guys, which is what he should be saying. Now, that said, I think the Texans should absolutely be looking for receiver help if they can get it on the trade market. We know next Tuesday afternoon is a trade deadline. I think there's a few things they should be looking for. It's really weird how things have kind of shifted over the last couple weeks, because when they had all those defensive injuries, it's like, oh, Lassiter's out. You got to go find yourself a corner. And so you demanded Nick Caserio find secondary help on behalf of the Texan fans a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. And he hasn't done it yet.
He's not done it yet.
He hasn't done it yet. I'm not as right now. I mean, if I had to choose between a guard and a cornerback, I would still take a guard. Boy, talk about an unfortunate timing for a concussion for Patterson. Because I think Patterson would have finished that game and maybe could have played tonight and cemented and felt – you could have felt better about perhaps the entire offensive line and the upside of Patterson. But that's not the way it's worked out. The trade deadline comes between whenever Patterson comes back.
This is the second straight year that – Jared Patterson kind of had the rug pulled out from under him, because he was the starting center last year. He would have been the starting center all season long last year if he didn't go out with the knee that ultimately Michael Dieter takes over. But for what it's worth, and we'll get into the names that I picked out for possible trades. I want to bounce these off of you, Seth. The depth chart on the Texans website, updated by Texans PR on Tuesday, October the 29th, Tuesday, October the 28th. Tuesday was the 29th, Texans PR.
No.
As of Tuesday, yeah. as of Tuesday, Kenyon Green is still listed as the starter on the depth chart.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so there's that.
I think Casario saying that it's a lazy narrative that the offensive line is an issue when one of their starting offensive linemen was benched in the game on Sunday. D'Amico Ryan's saying that they feel good about Kenyon and they won six games with Kenyon at left guard. I think part of that is them giving support to Kenyon, and then maybe a little of it is just old school gamesmanship of not letting the opponent know what you're going to do.
Yeah,
that they've got plans potentially to either start Kendrick Green or to move Titus Howard down to guard and have Blake Fisher start at tackle. Who knows?
Yeah, the depth chart on the website is not a binding contract by any means.
No.
They're not married to that.
Yeah.
As far as trades go, and I think this is valid regardless of what position you're looking at, but I was kind of going through the standings yesterday and kind of drawing the line of teams that, and this may change depending on what the outcomes are on Sunday of some of these games over the weekend. You know, there may be a 3-5 team that gets the doors blown off them, and all of a sudden they go, well, we're 3-6 now halfway through the season. We're a seller. But I think the teams that, if you were to call them today and would be sellers right now, Tennessee and Jacksonville, but I don't think they're taking the Texans' calls, probably. New England, Las Vegas, Cleveland. These are all teams that have been selling already. I think the Jets are about to be pushed to the brink of surefire seller if they're not already. The Texans can push them over the top, which is relevant because I think there's a receiver on their team that could be maybe somebody the Texans would look at. Carolina, the Giants, and the Saints, which is crazy. The Saints were 2-0 and they were the toast of the league 2 weeks into the season. They're 2-6 now, and they're a mess.
Yeah, the Jets one is interesting because we might get a look up close and personal at some of the players that you might want. Maybe they bring them on the plane home with them. Maybe they just say, "Hey, grab your things, come back to Houston.
Yeah.
We'll send for your belongings."
It'd be like when the Astros traded for Christian Vasquez while the Red Sox were in town, and they're like, "Just grab your stuff and come over to this clubhouse over here." They literally traded for him while he was here.
Who's the biggest realistic name that the Jets might trade away? One of their offensive linemen, maybe, perhaps?
Mike Williams, I think, is a name a lot of people are focused on. The wide receiver that they signed in the offseason.
Dude, I've had so many disappointing Mike Williams receivers in my life that I can't keep track of them anymore.
There
have been like 19 Mike Williams
receiver
in the NFL in the last two decades.
Fair, yeah. The names, the wide receiver possibilities on that group of teams that I kind of threw into a list here. Adam Thielen from Carolina, although he's been banged up this year, he's coming back from a hamstring injury. And I admit I did some looking at salaries and things like that. Darius Slayton on the Giants. The one that's intriguing but would probably cost you a high pick is Chris Olave from the New Orleans Saints, who's a former college teammate of C.J. Stroud.
Honestly, when I sit back and try to look at things from 35,000 feet, I have zero real gnawing need for them to go out and trade for a wide receiver, partly because we've just seen what I was warning about previously, which was that, hey, it's not as simple as just having three really good receivers out there and then everything falls into place. Sometimes it can be make things a little bit harder in some respects. There's more glaring positions and weaknesses than, as long as Nico Collins is back, than wide receiver right now. And frankly, that includes on the offense, just in general, getting the tight ends and running backs more involved. And that's on CJ Stroud as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, none of the guys, Olave is a different story because he's a former first round pick that's still on a rookie contract. These other guys I'm naming are all guys who are, been around 5 or 6 years. They're on reasonable deals. None of them are on a Diggs level trade kind of thing. What makes me, like, you look at what Deontay Johnson went for the Ravens, it was nothing. Like it was him and a sixth for a fifth. DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Chiefs for a conditional fourth. Even Davante Adams, for who he is, it was not a expensive deal draft capital wise. And so I'm thinking, like, these guys, if it's a day three pick and you can get Kendrick Bourne from the Patriots, because as we're finding out, injuries happen. You know, I just like Nico's got a hamstring, you know, and he's going to come back, but he's Nico. He gets hurt. Diggs is done, so he's not walking through that door. Tank Dell didn't finish the season last year. I just don't want to go into the postseason with my three receivers being Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, and John Mechie. You know, that's yeah,
or
I'm
even,
talking about
even
depth.
Nico Collins plus those guys, which is what you had last year.
Yeah.
That's, I understand exactly what you're saying. But there's also the part of me that's like, yeah, and that could happen to any other position group as well.
Sure.
You have your starting cornerback gets injured. It would be really nice to have an extra cornerback. I mean, it's more likely between Derek Stingley and Lassiter, one of whom's already missed time this year. The other has yet to finish a complete NFL season in Derek Stingley. I fear that more than I fear going into a game with only Nico Collins or only Tank Dell or whomever else, I suppose. Or at least it's just as realistic. And as far as trading for a wide receiver, yeah, they trade Devontae Adams. He tries to get into a new scheme with a quarterback with whom he has a great relationship already. And he had, against the Steelers, he had 3 receptions for 30 yards. Against the Patriots, he had 4 receptions for 54 yards.
Sure.
It's not immediately lightning in a bottle because you bring a new guy in.
No. And again, I'm talking more about depth pieces here at wide receiver. Like the two that I didn't get to that I would say keep an eye on if you're Texan fans just because of prior relationships, Jacoby Myers on the Raiders. Nick Caserio was in the building in New England when they drafted him. And Kendrick Bourne with the Patriots actually has history with D'Amico Ryans. He started his career in San Francisco.
But that's where I'm at. And that's the point I'm making about Devontae Adams, though, is that you're talking about depth pieces.
Yeah.
Like, even a marquee guy like Devontae Adams doesn't step in and be an immediate elixir in the middle of the season.
Right.
So for depth pieces, Xavier Hutchinson, Robert Woods, and John Metchie are fine for me.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that. Yeah, you have to worry about whether both Tank Dell and Nico Collins are going
to
stay healthy.
Yeah, I have a ceiling on what I would pay for these guys. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a 6-round pick, I would trade for Kendrick Bourne. You know, like I would do that. I'm with you on the need for a guard. You paint a very scary picture in the secondary that I had not thought about in going through this exercise of Stingley's injury history and Lassiter's injury history. He's got one now. You know, he's got one now. All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Someone's texting in Tyler Boyd. He's on the Titans. The Titans and the Jags are not trading with the Houston Texans. That's just how it goes. That is the 5-Hour Energy fan line.
I thought so little about the Titans. Oh, sorry, 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah,
here,
that's okay.
Go ahead, finish your 5-Hour Energy.
No, just that's a 5-Hour Energy fan line.
I'm going to slug. I'm going to slug one down too.
How'd you get that?
I found one. Somehow I found a gas station that had one.
Oh.
How'd you get that?
Right there.
The other. I'll tell you what. The power of suggestion. 5-Hour Energy, you've been talking about it now, and I'm like, I need a 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah, man.
The other thing I did the other day that I hadn't done in a long time, had a quarter pounder with cheese. You know why? Because they'd been in the news. For what reason, Seth? Oh, nothing good at all.
No.
But in my mind, I started thinking like, oh, yeah, a quarter pounder with cheese.
Sounds awfully good.
Succulent, juicy beef type substance going down my gullet. Yes.
I forget exactly why it's in my brain right now. How was it?
Oh, no, I knew exactly. It was because of the E. coli. Yeah. I did the math. That's like 100 people out of, 150 million American
analytics.
McDonald's eaters. I'm good to go.
Analytics. Hey, does the NFL have a QB development problem? Apparently, a lot of people were talking about this yesterday. I hadn't heard about it in Houston, but apparently that was a big topic yesterday.
Yeah, this is a concern, apparently.
A big concern around the league. Yeah, we'll get into that coming up next.